Coming up on KUCB News, St. Paul has its first case of the coronavirus, and later this year, Alaskans will need to dial the 907 area code when making phone calls within the state. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, April 1st, 2021. St. Paul has implemented a two-week hunker-down order after officials confirmed the island's first case of COVID-19 yesterday, more than a year after the pandemic arrived in the state. The order will go into effect this evening at 6 o'clock and expire on April 15th. City Manager Phil Zavadil says an essential worker tested positive yesterday in the small community of 370 residents in the Pribilof Islands. There are an additional 300 seasonal workers and contractors on the island as well. Zavadil says the person tested negative for the virus before traveling to the island on March 26th. They will now complete a 10-day isolation. Zavadil says all passengers who traveled with them on the plane to St. Paul were already in quarantine but began a new 14-day quarantine yesterday. And anyone working with the positive person and the people those workers live with have also been instructed to quarantine for 2 weeks to contain spread. Starting today, the local health center is setting up an outdoor COVID-19 testing location to test any community members that think they might have been exposed. Everyone on the island eligible has been offered the COVID-19 vaccine. Zavadil says as of today, 177 people have been fully vaccinated and another 20 are currently waiting for their second dose of the Moderna vaccine. A man suspected of being connected to a string of drug overdoses in Unalaska in 2019 has died in prison. Federal inmate Chopper Ellingsworth was pronounced dead at the Anchorage Correctional Complex last week, according to a statement from the Alaska Department of Corrections. Ellingsworth was an unsentenced inmate and had been in custody since November of 2019. He was charged with conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute controlled substances. Ellingsworth was linked to a number of overdoses on the island, one of which was fatal. Investigators found a shipment of various drugs from Oregon at a suspected drug dealer's home in Unalaska and connected them to Ellingsworth and one other man. At the time of his arrest, Ellingsworth's distribution charges were not tied directly to the overdoses. Ellingsworth was 58 years old. The statement said his death is not COVID-19 related and no foul play is suspected. The Department of Justice did not respond to a request for further information. Later this year, Alaskans will need to dial the area code when making phone calls within the state. Recently, some telecommunication companies notified customers that 7-digit dialing will soon be a thing of the past. The reason for this change, according to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, is a new federal act that will designate 988 as an abbreviated number to reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. To avoid potentially having to change any phone numbers, regions that have 988 as an active prefix will have to dial the area code to make phone calls. That includes Alaska's 907 area code. The changes begin to take effect on April 24th, but 7-digit dialing will still work until October. 988 becomes the abbreviated number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline next summer. Until then, the line can be reached at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. While there are ongoing dialogues nationwide on racial justice and policing, one Alaska legislator is hoping to change the way police serve in the state. Senator L.V. Gray Jackson has proposed a series of police reform legislation in response to last summer's protests against police brutality. KTOO's Pablo Arauz Peña has more.
This is what it sounded like at Marine Park in Juneau during last summer's Black Lives Matter protests. It was only blocks away from the state capitol building. It was just one of many demonstrations in communities across the state. Now, a bill in the Alaska Senate is trying to show what a response to that action could look like on paper and in practice. Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, who is one of two Black lawmakers in the state, calls her legislation turning pain into progress. It's aimed at preventing police violence across communities in Alaska.
The subject of police reform has been talked about a lot for years, okay? And nobody's ever done anything, not really, not in this community.
The legislation consists of six bills that include a statewide ban on chokeholds and a ban on officers shooting at vehicles. Other pieces of the legislation require officers to follow de-escalation procedures and to provide a verbal warning before discharging a firearm. Another piece requires an officer to intervene when they observe another officer violating standards, if it's safe to do so. And the last two pieces would create a statewide database that tracks use of force incidents and would require all departments in the state to post their policies and procedures on their website. Gray Jackson says this isn't a one-sided package. It's intended to protect both the community and law enforcement.
I mean, you know, in our community, we have not had instances to the level of George Floyd, but we have had instances, and I'm hopeful that, you know, bringing these bills forward and them being state statutes will prevent us from having situations that have been experienced on a national level.
The Washington Post's police shootings database has recorded 44 deaths by police in Alaska since 2015. Celeste Hodge Groudon, who is Black, is the president and CEO of the Alaska Black Caucus.
The goal is to have no lives lost. That's the goal. And there just needs to be some mechanisms put in place to assure that.
She says she would love to see a better relationship between law enforcement and communities of color, especially with the Black community. Julie Smith, who is Inupiaq, summed up the Inupiaq community's relationship with police during public testimony.
It's taboo for people in my community to call the police when there are issues because of how bad the mistrust is between my people and the police.
Smith also asked the committee to add language that would require officers to provide proof that their life is threatened. The legislation has some backing from the law enforcement community. Sergeant Jeremy Conkling, who is white, is president of the Anchorage Police Department Employees Association. He worked with Senator Gray Jackson as she drafted the legislation. He says much of it already reflects the training and practices at his department. Right now, officers are required to intervene when they see one of their colleagues violating standards.
Not only is that ingrained in our culture here, it is required of all of our officers already.
But Conkling said that while the bills reflect practices that make sense in a municipality like Anchorage, the policies may not be appropriate in rural Alaska.
I am a very firm believer that policies and procedures of the police department should reflect the culture in which the police department serves.
Retired Public Safety Commissioner Walt Monaghan, who is part Tlingit and Yupik, says he's experienced a litany of life-threatening scenarios where the bills might apply. He expressed mixed feelings about the legislation.
It's hard to write a policy that will meet everything that you're going to encounter out there.
He says that it could cause huge headaches in enforcing some of the policies. He says it's great that organizations like the Alaska Black Caucus are involved.
But I think that more work needs to be done if they're going to do these kind of, take these kind of actions and look at the long term, not just in the perfect world aspect of it.
Monaghan did agree with one aspect of the bill, that the tactical chokehold is outdated, similar to the maneuver that former officer Derek Chauvin used on George Floyd in Minneapolis.
The idea of a chokehold, I think it's gone by the way. I mean, it's gone. It should be gone because you can hurt somebody.
So far, two of the bills have been through State Affairs Committee hearings, but even if none of it becomes state statute, Groudon at the Alaska Black Caucus says she won't stop working toward a positive change in policing.
One thing we won't do is grow weary in doing good. we will do as our late Congressman John Lewis shared, and that is stay in good and necessary trouble to move us toward that beloved community.
For now, it's up to the state's elected lawmakers to decide the future of policing in Alaska. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña.
The IFHS clinic is conducting a survey to better understand the health concerns and needs of the Unalaska community. For more information or to find a link to the survey, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. And coming up on Saturday, the PCR is holding Easter egg hunts for kids 10 years old and younger. The hunts will take place throughout the morning and afternoon at the UCSD park. Face masks and distancing are required. For more information or to find out your age group time slot, visit our community calendar on our website. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.